Last week, I shared a message with you about a life of blessings. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That verse is John 10:10, and I want to read the whole verse this morning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Satan, the thief, he wants to keep us from living an abundant life. He wants to steal away the blessed life, all of the blessings that God has in store for us. He uses things to steal, kill, and destroy. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, there are certain devices, there are certain things that Satan uses to try to take an advantage of us. And we need to be aware of that. One of the worst things that we can allow in our lives is offense. That we are offended. I know everybody in our world right now is offended about something. We certainly have lots of opportunity to be offended because we all get hurt. We all go through things. We've all had wrongs done to us. But it's not just the wrongs done to us. Hear me now. It is the being offended itself that does so much harm to our soul. It is that offense that Satan uses to steal, to rob us of our joy and our peace and so many of the blessings of God that are supposed to be ours. He uses that tool of offense to stir up anger, to divide people, to keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God in our life. He uses that offense to destroy relationships, even in the body of Christ. And if we allow offense in our life, I can tell you it will steal, rob you, keep you from many blessings that God has for you. And it keeps us from fulfilling God's purpose in our life. We all get offended at times. We're all wronged. We all feel that we've been attacked in some way at times. And we all are offended when things don't go our way, when things don't turn out the way that we thought they should. People sometimes get offended with somebody else simply because they have a different opinion. And we get offended when we don't understand why something happened or something didn't happen. In Luke 17:1, Jesus says to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Jesus tells us plainly, it's impossible that there's not going to be any offenses. There's going to be offense in this world because we live in a fallen world with fallen man and we have an adversary, the devil. So yes, there's always going to be offense. There's always going to be things that happen. As long as we're in this world. But Jesus gives this warning, a warning. He says, woe to whom they come through. Those that the offenses come through. Now, I want to explain to you, this is talking about a specific kind of offense. It's causing others to stumble or to fall into sin. But we need to realize this morning that any offense, if we don't deal with it properly, if we allow that offense to get down in our heart and stay there, eventually, it will cause us to stumble. It will cause us to sin. So we have to learn how to overcome offense in our life. I know we would all like to think of ourselves only as the one who is wronged. But the truth is whether intentional or unintentional, we all have hurt others. I mean, if you've got family, if you work somewhere with people, if you have any friends, if you don't have any friends, I can assure you, you've hurt people. But, you know, if you got neighbors or if you go to church, you've probably hurt somebody, whether you knew it even or not. We all offend. We all have wronged people. But I want to remind you, Jesus said, woe to the one through whom they come, right? And here's what I want to say about that, is that we need to do everything we can as long as we are abiding by the principles of Scripture to not offend people. Now, here's what I know. Jesus offended people. It happened. Sometimes you speak the truth, you do the right thing, and yes, you're going to offend people. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I want to tell you, that still offends people today, right? When we say that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Yes, we have to speak the truth. We're also supposed to do it in love. We should always make every effort not to offend. I think there's some believers today that they almost seem to relish offending people. There's a word for that. It's called hate. And we should hate offending people. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. You see, when we offend someone, it's hard to undo the damage. Sometimes when someone is offended, that relationship is never the same. And with God, we know that all things are possible. But when it doesn't violate the principle of Scripture, we need to go out of our way to not offend people. And when we do have to speak the truth in love, we do it in love. We should always be loving and kind, especially when we're speaking the truth. Now, some of you are going to think I'm just going way off track here, but you'll get it in a minute. Anybody ever get offended about paying taxes or so much taxes? Wow, the rest of you, y'all are some kind of special citizens. I'm just telling you. Because most of us, we've had the opportunity. I mean, at least, you know, we feel like there's some inequity. It's not fair sometimes, or, you know, something about this process of paying taxes we get offended about. So one day, those who collect the temple tax, they ask Simon Peter, they ask him, does your master pay tax? He says, yes. And then when he goes to Jesus, before he can even say anything, Jesus says to him, so those who collect the tax, do they take the tax from their sons or from strangers? Simon says, strangers. And Jesus says, the sons are free. We don't have to. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. Does he have to pay a temple tax? I don't think so. I don't have to do that. That's not the way he said it. In fact, I want to read this to you from Matthew 17, 27. This is what he said. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. He said, we don't have to do it. But to keep from offending them, we're going to. Jesus went out of his way to not offend. Now, we all know there were lots of times when Jesus spoke the truth things that he did, healing somebody, setting somebody free from a demon, and the Pharisees were all offended. We all know that. But I want you to see here that when Jesus didn't have to offend, he avoided offending someone. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to get in on this tax program. You know, you go fishing to pay your taxes. That would be awesome. Well, let's consider how this happened. He made the choice. Let's don't offend. Sometimes when you decide that you're not going to offend other people, you're going to have to go out of your way. You're going to have to go the second mile. You're going to have to, well, it's going to cost you some time, effort, energy maybe. It might even cost you some money to not offend people. Do it. Because here's what happened. You see, because Jesus makes this choice to not offend, they didn't lose anything. It was made up. What if God made it up to you? When you go out of your way to not offend somebody else, what if God made it up to you? Okay. You got to get that. I'm just telling you. So often we think that it doesn't matter if we offend people. It does. Lest we offend, Jesus said. So we need to go out of our way. And I'll tell you, God is more than able to make up the difference, whatever it cost us. I talk to people sometimes. I tell you, it is plain and obvious. They don't care who they offend. And what that tells me is that they are carrying a load of offense in their own heart. And there's the bigger issue for us. Yes, we all need to learn not to offend when we don't have to do our best to avoid offending others. But the bigger issue for most of us is we need to learn how to deal with offense in our own heart. When we are offended, when we've been hurt, when we've been wrong, I think part of dealing with this is that we need to understand that it is a tool, it is a device of Satan that he has orchestrated it to use against us to steal, kill, and destroy. To create a stumbling block in our life. Philippians 1, 9 and 10 says this. Well, this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippians, and he writes to them, and he lets them know what he prayed. He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." I think we need this in our generation, that we would be without offense until Jesus comes back. Christians, we sometimes make fun of the world about how they're offended about everything, when we are probably the most offended people in the world. We're offended all the time about this and that and everything else. We're offended. And we say, I hear you. I know. I live in a real world. We got a right to be offended. Well, in the first place, I don't know if we have a right. I guess maybe it's a right as an American, but you get that attitude from culture, not from the scripture. Because we don't have a right to be offended over their offenses, because here's what I know. I mean, it's really strange when you consider that our faith is all about one who took our offenses. Romans 4:25 tells us that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus was delivered up. Why did he go to the cross? For our offenses. But get this. When we say our offenses, we're not just talking about the people in this room. We're talking about the world. He was delivered up for our offenses, ours and theirs. And we need to remember this. Jesus paid the price for all of our offenses. In the last days, Matthew 24:10 tells us many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. This is part of a prophecy about the end time. Now, many times in Scripture, there is a partial fulfillment of a prophecy and then an ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy. I don't think we're seeing the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew 24:10. I do think that we're beginning to see a partial fulfillment of this. Many will be offended. That's how it starts. They will betray one another and will hate one another. That's happening in our culture right now, where people get offended and then they turn on each other. It even happens in the body of Christ, where two people or two families, they were friends. They prayed together, wept together, but then an offense got in. And now they go behind the other person's back and talk about them. They betray them. And the truth is, they hate them. They can't stand them. You know what can't stand them is? It's just a Christian way of saying you hate them. How's it start? Offense. You see, Satan uses offense to divide people, to destroy. And we're so offended all the time with people who don't believe like we do, or who sin differently than we do. That's right. I've known one person in my life who had the insanity to say, I don't sin. I want to tell you, there was a whole lot of people that would have disagreed with him on that issue. But here's what I know. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But we can get so judgmental and mean, we're so offended with righteous indignation because, well, they sin different than I do. Well, theirs is bad. Mine's not that bad. Mine and yours are why Jesus was on the cross. And it is so hypocritical for us to be so offended, angry, mad. Listen, sometimes the anger, the judgment, the evil speaking is a worse sin. And it comes across so pharisaical. And the really sad part of this is you can't reach people that you're mad at. You can't reach people that you can't stand. You will never reach somebody that you just can't stand. What did I tell you? That's the Christian way of saying I hate them. You will never reach people that you hate. We want to reach people, we got to do like our Savior. He told us to love our enemies. What are you supposed to do? You bless those who curse you. You pray for those who persecute you. We love them. We got to get rid of that offense that causes us to be angry and bitter and judgmental towards lost people. It's so unproductive. It's really worse than unproductive. It's counterproductive because it will cost you joy and peace and energy and relationships and opportunities and blessings. I'm telling you that Satan uses offense to rob people. Right. It'll keep you from walking in the Spirit. It'll keep you from being able to receive from the Word of God. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, he talks about the seed that was sown on the rocky soil. And he says, when hard times came, they were offended and they brought forth no lasting fruit. See, a lot of people, when they go through a difficult time, they get all offended and they don't allow God to bring healing and victory, and they don't ever bring any fruit. It'll keep the word from producing its fruit in your life. It can even hinder your prayer life and your walk with the Lord. It's hard to be happy when you're offended. I don't know. I kind of think maybe there's some warped people that are happy about being offended. They need help. But for a normal person, when you're offended, well, you're not happy. And I'm telling you, we need to get victory in this area where we don't allow offense to store up in our heart and bring its ugly fruit in our life, because eventually it will cause us to stumble and to sin. I need this message today. I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, you especially need this message today because you live with me. And that's what she did. She laughed. And I said, well, I'm glad you can laugh about it. But here's the truth. We all need this message. I've talked about this before, but, you know, I talk about this, so I don't have to tell you anything that might reflect on somebody. Anyway, so, you know, when you're driving down the road, somebody pulls out right in front of you, and then they go 10 miles under the speed limit. I don't get offended at me if that's you, all right? But I'm just like, come on, get a life. I got somewhere to go. And then I'm driving at least the speed limit. That's all I'm going to say, at least the speed limit. And there's somebody riding my tail, and I'm like, get off me. That's a little bitty thing, y'all. But you can get offended over it. We can get offended over thousands of things, all kinds of things. They're too numerous to mention. And those are just the little things. Now, sometimes it's a terrible offense, a terrible wrong that you've suffered. Certainly big things that happen to us. And we got to learn to deal with all of it. I get upset. I get offended with people that profess to be Christians and yet they don't really serve God. They're not really committed to the Lord. I guess you might can tell this morning, I get offended with Christians that don't care about lost people. They don't care about the unchurched, people that are trying to do life without the Lord. I tell you, we ought to be brokenhearted over those people. Jesus standing, looking at Jerusalem and saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you to myself. That's our Savior. We need to have that heart, but you can't if you're full of offense. Remember, offense is a device that Satan uses to get an advantage of us. Now, he always uses deception. So there's a strange deception about offense, that somehow in the back of our mind, we think that somehow being offended helps. It's a lie. It's a trick of Satan. I mean, well, if I'm not offended, it's like saying it's okay. No, it's not. You don't have to be offended for people to know that something's not right. It is just a trick of Satan to try to get us to drink the Kool-Aid, the poison of offense. You know, you drink poison, it doesn't make somebody else sick. It makes you sick. Drink the Kool-Aid. I know a lot of you probably know, but just in case you don't know, drinking the Kool-Aid originated from Jonestown, where there was this massacre where 900 people drank what was basically poisonous Kool-Aid because their leader, their cult leader, had deceived them and talked them into it. Satan is trying to talk people into drinking the poisonous Kool-Aid of offense. And a lot of Christians are buying into it. Give me another glass of offense. They're drinking it up and it's destroying, it's hurting their own soul. A lot of things, well, they're just really not worthy of being offended over, being upset over. But even when it's something terrible, you need to turn it over to the Lord. Don't just take that offense into your heart, but look to God, trust God, ask for God's help. We don't even have to talk about a big thing this morning. Let's just talk about a few more little things. You held the door for somebody, they didn't even say thank you. I want to ask you something. Is that worth telling somebody? I held the door for them. This is how offended we are in our culture. How about preachers who talk about money? I've been offended by preachers that talk about money, not because they talked about money, but because of the way they did it. But I got to tell you, there's such an attitude in our culture. I hate to talk about money because somebody's going to be offended. Y'all are getting quiet on me. But I'm telling you, being offended, it becomes an obstacle to what God wants to do in our life, and especially what God would do through our life. We just can't be offended all the time and be spiritual people. It keeps us from being the kind of person that we're supposed to be. And let me just throw a few more out here real quick. Just some hot areas. Politics. So many people, we see it at all levels, from the government and all the way down to the church, and families divide over politics. You think Satan isn't at work? Right now, some of you, if you knew somebody else in this congregation voted different from you, you would be like, I can't even be friends with them. I can't stand them. I'm telling you the truth. That kind of offense is from Satan. You say, well, they're wrong. Have you been wrong? I'll tell you this. Stupidity that goes on with us being offended at everybody about everything. What we ought to be concerned about is the things that our Savior teaches, the things that He tells us, like love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I'll tell you, see, one of the first things to go when we allow offense in our heart is our love for one another. There are all kinds of social issues people get all bent out of shape about. And, you know, I struggle as a pastor with humor because so often a joke can offend one person or another. And I had a joke I was going to use this morning, and I talked to my wife about it. I said, you know what, I think I just need to leave it out because it might offend somebody. And she said, you're right. And here's how I feel about that. You know what? I wish I told a lot of jokes and I was really funny, but I'm going to tell you straight up, as long as I preach the word and tell you the principles of Scripture, I don't really care much about the jokes. I want you to get the principles of the Word of God. And I don't want to put a stumbling block. Praise the Lord. I don't want to put a stumbling block out there over some silly joke that I told, but I'm just telling you, we all get offended about so many things. It happens even in church. And we got to break that spirit of offense. See, it's a worldly attitude that you have that right to be offended. I just want to remind you one more time, Jesus was delivered up for us all. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Everybody is offended. Decide you're not going to allow offense in your heart. It does so much harm to your relationships. A spouse gets offended by something that was said. A child gets offended by something they thought was unfair. An employee gets offended by their overbearing boss. And the boss gets offended by the lazy employee. And it just goes on and on and on. Family and friends and church brothers and sisters and the pastor. I never mean to offend. But I just got to tell you, something I said or something I didn't do, I offend people all the time. One lady got really offended when I was talking about praising the Lord through difficult times. She felt like it just totally disregarded the hurt that she was going through. We could just be offended all the time. Evidently, I'm pretty good at it. I've offended a lot of people over the years, so y'all pray for me. I'm trying. Two friends no longer speak. Why? I don't know the details, but I know it was because of offense. You know why people get out of church? It's almost always because they were offended. Now, that's not what they say. A lot of the time, they'll say, well, God just moved us on. But that's what it really was. There was something that offended them. It got the best of them. They love God on some level. But I want to tell you that offense is doing harm to their life. And it does harm to the body of Christ. Offense is like a disease that eats away at your soul. And one reason I consider it like a disease is because it's contagious. When you talk about your offense and the things you're upset over, especially those who are close to you, are going to be in the position, in the place to take up that offense. And they are offended also. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers an offense promotes love. He who covers an offense promotes love. He who covers an offense promotes love. Why does he keep reading it over and over? Because some of us need to hear and believe that this is the word of the Lord. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You repeat it, you go tell other people about how you're offended. You're not just doing damage to your own soul, you're doing damage to somebody else's soul. Don't be part of that. Don't be a tool of Satan. You know, the dangers of offense, it's just accumulative. It's, you know, sometimes it's just little offenses. This happens sometimes in a marriage relationship where, say, the husband, he just works long, long hours, and the wife is continually, she feels like she is sidelined, she's not important. And finally, one day, there's just one little thing that he does. You know, he misses a family event, and all of a sudden, she wants a divorce. Because that offense has been building up for all those years. I'm just telling you, you got to deal with offense. Offense, it can make you just kind of warped, where you're paranoid. Did you see the way she looked at me? Sweetheart, she didn't even look at you. Well, that says something, doesn't it? You see, when we're offended all the time, we just get to the place where we're offended by every little thing. Sometimes we take up an offense because when your friend or your loved one is hurt or wronged, it can be harder even than if you are the one that suffered wrong. And, you know, Carmen is got to experience this a lot of times, but it's harder on her when I'm wronged than it is on me. Now, I've only had a couple of occasions to have to deal with that myself, because who could do wrong? Who could be mean to Carmen? I mean, the Lord's going to take care of people like that. I'm just telling you, I've seen it over and over, but it can be a hard thing. And you know, when somebody hurts your kid, well, Mama Bear comes out, right? It's easy to take up that offense when it's your loved one. But I just want to encourage you. Now, don't misunderstand me. We should always defend our loved ones and our friends from being wronged, but we shouldn't take up offense. It won't help. And this last thing about offense, how it comes, I want to address this morning, because a lot of times people get offended just over life, how something happened, or maybe something didn't happen that they thought was supposed to, and people become offended even at the Lord. You know, usually it's the result of sinful man or just the work of Satan, but God usually gets the blame for it. But maybe the Lord is at work through an event that was hurtful to you. I want to share with you from John 16, verse 1 and 2. Jesus tells the disciples, "These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble," not be offended and stumble. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service." Jesus was warning them about what was about to happen so that they could be prepared for it, so they would understand. He tells them real plainly, don't stumble. Don't let this get the best of you. They're going to put you out of the synagogue. They're going to try to kill you. It's going to be really, really bad. I'm going to tell you this morning, every single one of us goes through some really bad times. Even when you're living a blessed life, you're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some real battles. There are going to be some bad things that you deal with in life. You need to be prepared for that so that you don't get offended and stumble and fall into sin. And you don't allow anything to get between you and God. Sometimes, you know, people still believe in God. They still go to church, but deep down inside, they're just kind of angry with the Lord, and they need to deal with that offense. So how do we overcome offense? First, guard your heart. You don't have to take offense into your heart. Yes, offenses happen, but you don't have to just accept that into your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life." Your whole life flows out of your heart. Your whole life will be affected or infected by what you've allowed in your heart. An offense will do so much harm. See, if you've become real sensitive and short with people, if you've become negative, if little things set you off, if you feel upset a lot of the time, I mean, if it's become hard for you to believe that God works all things together for the good of them that love God and the called according to his purpose, I'm just telling you, maybe you've allowed some offense to get in your heart that's keeping you from really being close to God like you need to be. If you're struggling right now in some area of your life, maybe you need to search your heart and see if there's some offense that's gotten in. Next, overlook offense. There are just a lot of things in life that aren't really worth being upset about. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Overlook offense, little things. Let me just put it like this. Are you going to really pray about it and seek God? Well, no, it's not that big a thing. I just want to be mad. Come on, overlook it. Just don't get mad. Don't get bent out of shape. Just overlook it. It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense. They didn't even speak to me. I wasn't given the recognition that I deserve. Just overlook it. You don't have to accept offense into your heart. Next, walk in the Spirit. We who are Bible-believing Christians, we're supposed to be different from the world. And we should stay in tune and step with the Holy Spirit, yielding to Him. We don't just allow our old nature to take control of us, but rather we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we allow the Holy Spirit to help us through those times when we would be offended. How about this? When you're offended, no matter how big or small it is, when you are offended, pray in the Spirit about it. When you're offended, just begin to sing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'll tell you what, you sing through a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. I'm sorry, some of you don't even know what that is. But anyway, you sing through a couple of verses of Amazing Grace, and it's amazing how some of the things that you're offended about all of a sudden don't seem so big anymore. But you see, if we turn our heart to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to have His way in us, He'll help us. Because the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And that one's as bad as it sounds. It means you suffer long. So, most of the new translations, I guess they think people can't understand what that means. They change it to patience. Patience? That's what I need when I'm sitting in the doctor's office too long, just waiting. Patience. And by the way, I find that painful, but it's just patience. It's not really long-suffering, you know what I'm saying? No, when it says long-suffering, it's talking about something more than just, you know, you waited a little while. It's talking about that you are willing to suffer wrong. That there are times when you just overlook it, you just keep going, you forbear with the faults of others. Because that's what the Holy Spirit would have us do. That being offended and mad and, you know, we buck up and that's your old nature. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to love everybody, even our enemies. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a description of love. It says in verse 4, love suffers long. And there it is again. See, if we're going to love everybody, we can't be easily offended and upset and angry about all kinds of little things. There's a lot of, we just need to let it go. How can you do that? Because of the next thing. Trust God. See, when I say let it go, I really mean turn it over. Turn it over to God. The one who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. You see, he took care of that. He's going to take care of us. Turn it over to Him. The one who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Vengeance is not yours. It belongs to God. And being offended is a stupid way to try to seek vengeance. Turn it over to God. He will take care of it. It's not our place to judge or seek revenge. And when we trust God, I tell you, it frees us from that offense, but it also frees us up to be able to do this last one. You gotta forgive. Jesus tells us over and over that we have to forgive. so much of dealing with offense, especially the big things, it comes down to this, us being willing to trust God and release it to Him. And we do what we're supposed to do, which is forgive. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." What are you supposed to do with this? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking? Put it away. Put it away. There's a whole lot of it going on in the world. Church, we're not supposed to be a part of all that garbage. Put it away. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I want to read that verse 31 from the Living Bible. Stop being mean. There you go. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling and harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in our lives. That just describes somebody that's been overtaken with offense. I want to tell you, the best time to forgive somebody is when it happens. That's the best time. I didn't say it was the easiest. That's the best time. But the longer it takes you to forgive, the longer that you're carrying that burden of offense. Your Father wants you to be free from it. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.